interrupt this program, even though I'm sure it was going to be devastatingly funny. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm as dedicated a Nyan Ya fan as you can get. Every Thursday night at 11:36 and a half, you'll find me locked away in my bedroom, the stereo pumping out 200 decibels, the candles lit, the glow-in-the-dark plastic Nyan Ya figurines casting a pale and sacred light over my naked, throbbing body. Yes. As I was saying, we interrupt this program to warn everyone on the planet Earth, we have been invaded!
By Martians! No, really, run for your lives! They're here, I tell you! Lock your doors, gaffer tape your pets together, glue your slow and cumbersome children to the ceiling! Oh, but above all!
No one would have believed in the dying years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from afar by minds vastly superior to our own. Luckily, they weren't. But come the end of the 20th century, intelligences immeasurably superior to ours were eyeing this Earth with envious eyes, scrutinizing it as a scientist with a microscope might study the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water.
Hey, Quinflex! See if you can spot one of them Earthling fellas.
I can't, Drum-Drum 2. The telescope's broken.
What's wrong with it? No, silly, you're supposed to look in the telescope.
Now I can see it.
Hey, what does it look like?
It's long and round and thin and has a lens at each end.
Not the telescope, Quinflex, the Earthling.
Well, it's long and round and thin and has a lens at each end.
Hey? What's it doing?
Looking at us through a telescope.
It was on the night of August the 4th, the first green cylinders landed from out of the sky.
Whee! Oh, Damien, stop throwing those VB cans. You're shaking the telescope.
Oh, but I want to have a look. It's always your turn.
Shh. I'm trying to scrutinize the Martians as they land, swarming and multiplying like drops of water.
Martians? Ha! The chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1.
You say... Told you so.
Can we borrow a cup of sugar?
I'm sorry, this is Mount Stromlo Observatory. We only use Ultra Sweet. Yes, when I'm having my wake-up coffee for an all-nighter staring at the stars, I use Ultra Sweet. So even though my job involves a lot of sitting down, I don't stack on the kilograms.
Oh, hello. Do you know where we can find some sugar then?
Look, try next door at the Binkleys. They're old folk, not in touch with our modern world of super science and artificial sweeteners.
Thanks!
Yes, Ultra Sweet, containing phenylenolenolenolenolenolene, scientifically proven not to cause birth defects, and with that great vaguely like sugar taste. So whether you're baking cakes or just hosting a diabetic astronomy conference, Ultra Sweet provides a salt-free alternative to sugar.
Not good, him.
But sugar wasn't the Martians' only concern. Oh no. No siree, Jimbo. Hell no. Nup. They wanted the world as well. As people busied themselves with Xeno Warrior Princess and instant coffee, they had been scrutinized as closely as a man with a microscope might study the transient creatures which swarm and multiply in a drop of water.
Oh, look at all these transient creatures, Doris.
Oh, Laurie, drink up your tea before it goes tepid. There'll be plenty of time for transients later.
Oh, all right, then.
You know, dear, It says here that the chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1, it says.
Well, what would they know? I have my personal suspicions that that young couple down the street are from Mars. Them and their stereo system. I think they use it to communicate with aliens through that rock and roll music of theirs.
Oh, I'll get it. Oh, hello.
Hello. We are the Martians from Mars, the planet you refer to as Mars. Just wondering if we could borrow a cup of sugar?
And the world.
Laurie, it's the Martians. They wanted to borrow the world for a little while.
But I'm using it at the moment.
We will in fact cook you alive with our heat rays otherwise.
Is that for the sugar or for the world?
Both, I'm afraid.
All right, but I want it back for the croquet game on Sunday.
Oh, look, why don't we all go inside and have a nice cup of tea and have a talk about it then?
Okay.
But as Laurie and Doris Binkley were busy making cups of tea, all over the world more Martians were landing, trundling around in their hatchback Mitsubishi tripods, wantonly microwaving things with their heat rays and destroying the human race with their human race destroyers. But as their scrutinizers, microscope transient creatures swarming and multiplying like watery drips, Earth's heads of state leapt into action, holding an urgent teleconference.
Comrade, I strongly suggest you use a portion of your stockpile of nuclear weapons to obliterate the Martian menace throughout Europe.
Europe? Our remaining nuclear arsenal is all locked in, pointed at your subcontinent.
Damn this disarmament treaty. All our nuclear weapons are pointed towards you.
I don't believe you.
It's true, Hadrosky Yeltsin. All our stockpiles have had to be destroyed as well.
Then we shall immediately launch on your behalf against your Martians with as much accuracy as we can manage. Comrade, ready firing pods 18 through 46 for full annihilation of the United States.
Okay, you red prick, you're on. Hillary, it's time to load up Martha.
But surely you two can settle your differences peacefully.
Who is this weedy arsehole?
His name badge says Australia.
You call that a leader? He looks like a, what is the English word for it, leprechaun's fart. Do you want to blow them up instead?
I thought you said your missiles were locked in pointing at the States.
I think I would be able to convince them to move that far.
Deal.
And while the nuclear arsenal of the world slowly cranked its way towards Australia, the fate of that very country was held in the hands of two pairs of hands, in the hands of Laurie and Doris Binkley's hands.
Oh, another cup of tea, Quinn Flex.
Oh, no, I'd love some, thanks, Mrs. Binkley.
Yes, I'll help you get it, dear. I hate them, Doris, I really do.
Yes, but you hate everything, Laurie. And you're usually right. But these fellas are actually quite nice. I mean, for foreigners. Oh, that Mr. Quinflax actually said I had a succulent body. Not that that's acceptable behaviour, of course.
It's not just that, Doris. It's that constant talk of world domination and extinction of the human race that's worrying me.
No, I'll let them have their fun. It's the first time on Earth. I'm sure if we were on Mars for the first time, we'd be constantly thinking of planetary empires and violent rule. Yeah, but once they've seen Larry Emder and the things that lovely Mike Munro has to say, they'll love it here.
But they don't stir their tea either. And they swallow the cups whole.
Just local custom. It's like those woggies and nips keep saying, you've got to respect their culture. Anyway, here's your tea, Mr. Martians. Oh, Larry! Larry! I've gone! And they've destroyed the lounge room with their heat ray!
Shall I leave the iced vovos in the kitchen, then?
Tonight, the city is in crisis. All over town, reports like this are being heard.
I was just down the supermarket when suddenly the place was invaded by Martians. They brandished a heat ray with which they destroyed the canned fish section and two-thirds of the instant noodles.
But can we place much credence in the stories of aliens, heat rays, and supermarkets stocking items such as canned fish and instant noodles? Call me a skeptic.
You're a skeptic!
Thank you.
As a renowned skeptic, film footage of blazing groceries aren't enough to convince this newscaster of the existence of beings from outer space, or large, well-stocked stores satisfying all your shopping needs for less. In this day and age, one has to regard such stories as pure poppycock, if not imitation poppycock. The Martians!
I still don't believe in supermarkets, though!
Throughout the land, this scene was repeated, the Martian scrutinizing and watering as a transient man might study a swarming microscope. Throughout the world, this scene was repeated, the Martians watering tangerine man, studying microphones. Throughout the world, this steam moss repealed, the mannequins... Excuse me, did the auto cue guy drop a tab?
Microphones, a tangerine, watering, scrutinizing, watering,
next scene, please.
No! No! In the name of all that's holy! No!
Fine, fine, fine then. No sugar for you.
You know how it rots my false gums? Can't be going off on one of those sugar rushes while the sitting room's in that state.
Oh, whoever could that be?
Hello again.
Oh, and what time do you call this to be coming in, young man? We've been waiting up all afternoon, worried sick about you. We've had to have 3 lie-downs each.
And 2 dozen cups of tea.
Oh, we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, so long as you're really sorry. Cup of tea?
Yes, please.
Sugar?
3, thanks.
Same here.
Ooh, actually, could we have all about 3 million cups of tea? For the invading troops, you see? They'll beam it up.
All with 3 sugars?
Absolutely. We love our sugar.
Oh, here you go. Quinflex. Dram, dram, two. Invading troops. Oh, and one for you, dear.
Oh, thank you, Doris.
Oh, whistles.
I'm joking!
Oh, quick, dear. Give me a look at that sugar. Oh, no!
What was it? Find out. Now.
It's not sugar at all. My ultra sweet. Who would have guessed that that would be the Martian's secret weakness?
Anyone who's ever used it? Oh, but this is pretty embarrassing. That nice chief inspector had better not hear about this.
That was a mistake anybody could have made.
Accidentally killing off the entire Martian force. You must admit it's a bit of a social faux pas.
I'm Brian Toldme, the nation's most respected newsreader. I do like how that sounds. Thousands of people have been killed today as giant Martian warships fell from the sky as though their pilots and crew had suddenly, maybe, choked to death on, let me consult the leaves. Tea, many cups of tea, and I see a house. Yes, a house with a red ceiling. No, a green ceiling. The stars are in conjunction. The trams are in Camberwell Junction. I must leave now and let Madame Zorge speak through me.
Falling from the sky, causing far more damage than the Martians and their heat rays ever did. Buildings have been crushed, entire countries.
Bloody Laurie and Doris.
And burn their stinking corpses!
Oh, dear me. Oh, don't like the sound of that at all.
I've got an idea, Laurie. Let's move out to the country and start again, where we'll never have to hear another thing about aliens or invasions ever again.
Yes, we could set up that Trifford farm I've always wanted. Or maybe we could raise pumpkins, you know, for Halloween.
I'd like to plant some lavender. Oh, and parsley. And rhubarb?
Well, rhubarb's due for a revival.
Here I go!
Thank you.